Good morning, everyone. A very special welcome to our guests and our visitors. If you're here for the first time, we hope you feel at home among us here at St. Benedict's. We're all kind of recuperating from a big celebration last night, the clergy appreciation party. And I noticed some people are sleeping in. So if you look around the pews, those are the ones that misbehaved and just couldn't make it this morning. What a wonderful celebration it was. Before I begin the sermon this morning, I just want to say thank you on behalf of all of the clergy. Not only do we feel appreciated, but we want you to know we appreciate you very much and the ministry that we share as baptized members of the body of Christ together. What an honor it is to be able to serve you. And all of the clergy that were here, our former rector who's here this morning, and all of the retired and active clergy that help us out here, we all had a great time, right? And we thank you for that. It was a lot of fun. If you didn't come this year, make sure you come next year. You missed a great party. There was a very generous barber who was well known in the Washington, D.C. area. And the priest went to get a haircut. And at the end of his haircut, he's about to pay the barber. The barber says, "Oh, no, Father. You serve this community. You're so good about everything you do. Please accept this haircut as my appreciation." So the next morning when the barber gets to his shop, he receives a thank you note and a stack of unused Christmas cards with nice envelopes and everything, you know, as an appreciation. A few days later, a police officer comes in to get a haircut and it's a nice haircut at the end. The barber says, "Oh, no, officer, you do so much for this community that haircut's on me." The officer couldn't believe it. Well, the next day, the barber gets to his shop. There's a thank you note and a dozen donuts, you know. A few days later, a senator comes by. Senator's about to get a haircut and goes through the whole thing. At the end, of course, the senator goes to pay and says, "Oh, no, sir, please. You serve our country. And I want to offer this to you as my way of saying thank you for the service that you render to our nation." So the next day, when the barber gets to the shop, two congressmen were standing outside bringing a thank you note for the barber. The gospel today really shakes it up a bit, doesn't it? Jesus is trying to tell us that his understanding of leadership is so different than what our world, our society thinks of when we think of leadership or people in power or powerful positions. The leadership that Jesus speaks about is servant leadership. Now, of course, the gospel begins with a drama, right? There's always drama in life, isn't there? But the drama here is among the apostles and two brothers, James and John, who choose to ask the Lord, can they sit on either side? Now, in Middle Eastern culture, you know, the place at table is very, very important. Now, you may say it's important to us too, you know, who sits at the head of the table and all that, but It's a little bit more intense for Middle Eastern culture. For example, in some Middle Eastern cultures, people are seated according to their age, according to their seniority in the family. It's not just the father or the mother; it's everyone else, the elders of the family. They're all seated according to their seniority and their place, if you will. So when James and John ask this, remember they're asking Jesus, who they still perceive to be the Messiah, King, ruler, who's going to come and destroy the powers that be. And Jesus is still introducing them to the kingdom of God, which is so different than the kingdoms of this world. So let's begin by that. The two brothers ask for the seat. The brothers... The other 10 are upset
The apostles are upset.
They're not so happy with their ambition and their request.
And some kind of drama begins. And it tells us that. But then there are two things Jesus says that are very, very telling of what he was calling them to. After they are convinced that, yes, that they deserve these places, Jesus asks, well, can you drink from the cup? Can you be baptized into my baptism? And those questions are very, very telling because they will actually define what the future of the apostles would be like. Number one, drinking from that cup meant drinking from the passion. Are you able to die for me? He didn't say it specifically in those words, but that's what he meant. You remember Jesus at the Passion? When he's praying, what does he say to the Lord? Lord, let this cup
pass me by, but if it is
your will. So obviously he's telling them, are you ready to die, to give your life? They said they were. And now one that hits closer to home to all of us. And I want you to really think about it. Are you ready to share in my baptism? Jesus says to them. In other words, are you ready to enter into the mystery of dying with Christ in order to rise? Because unfortunately, we don't think of our baptism as having great consequences. And that's a problem that we have in Christianity, by the way. There's lots of baptized Christians in the world, but there's very few of them who understand the consequences of that baptism. There's very few who understand what it means to really be baptized. To be baptized means to be one with Christ. And so, of course, when Jesus mentions the cup, yeah, we're ready to drink the cup. They didn't know what that cup was about. And then he says, and are you ready to be baptized? And so Jesus affirms to them that not only will they be baptized, they will drink from that cup. But this part about baptism really says something to me today that I must share with you. Because if we are truly to be servant leaders, Christ-like servant leaders, we must be willing to enter into that mystery, which we renew every Easter, which is the mystery, the Paschal mystery of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Are we able to relive it? Are we able to be part of it? Are we able to, as disciples of Jesus in the 21st century, be witnesses in the midst of our world of what it means to be a baptized Christian? Because unfortunately, there are many people who are baptized, but not a whole lot who understand the consequences. Baptism calls us to something. It calls us to ministry. It calls us to be leaders, not just within the church community, but in the world. We have to be the living good news of Jesus. You know, there's an old song from the 80s. Some Christian artists reinterpreted down here. You remember, Deacon Norm remembers Roger and Paul. Remember Roger and Paul?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Roger and Paul used to have a music ministry. They used to go all over the country, and they were phenomenal. I think one of them was a deacon, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And they went around, and they sang a song that it's stuck in my mind forever. You're the only Jesus some will ever meet. You're the only words of life that some will ever read. We forget that. To be baptized means that we're one with Christ, that we're clothed in Christ, that we have a mission and a ministry. And so when Jesus says to them, oh yeah, you'll drink from the cup, and oh yeah, you will be baptized, but are you really ready? Are you really ready? Are we ready to live according to the consequences of our baptism? Because we have been baptized. That means something. And so I would like to suggest that we think about servant leadership today and the joy of what it means to serve. There's a saying out there somewhere, you've probably seen it, that, you know, if you enjoy your work or whatever, if you enjoy what you do, you'll never work another day in your life. Have you ever heard that? If you understand that your ministry and mission is a central part of who you are as a follower of Jesus Christ in this world, it's just part of you, isn't it? It goes with you everywhere. Our world today demands, perhaps more than ever, that Christians understand what it means to really be a follower of Jesus Christ and what it means to be committed to joyful service in the name of the Lord. Do I understand my ministry and mission as a baptized member of the body of Christ? Now, I know some of you may remember one of my favorite comedians, George Burns. Remember George Burns? He used to be in those Oh God movies, remember? He was always, right? The God movies. Well, George Burns wrote a book in the 80s. He called it The Prescription for Happiness. Dr. George Burns' Prescription for Happiness. And like all of his stuff, it's enjoyable and funny. But I like this because it's very deep and very profound. He says, if you were to go around asking people what makes them happy, you'd get answers like getting a new car, getting a bigger house, getting a pay raise, winning the lottery. By the way, if any of you win that big lottery this week, don't forget your church. A facelift, more kids, less kids, a new restaurant to go to. Probably not one in 100 would say a chance to help people would make me happier. And yet, that may be the one thing that can bring the most happiness. I don't know, for example, Dr. Jonas Salk, he says, but after what he's done for us with his polio vaccine, if he isn't happy, he should have that brilliant head examined. Of course, not all of us can do what he did. I know I can't do what he did. He beat me to it. But the point is, it doesn't have to be anything that extraordinary. It can be working for a worthy cause, volunteering, performing a needed service, or just doing something that helps another person. The prescription for happiness. As I read these words, I was thinking of today's gospel. Because Jesus is telling them, if you really want to be my disciples, you must become servant leaders. Joy-filled servant leaders who are filled with the joy of serving. And there's a joy in serving, especially when we don't do it for ourselves, when we do it for God. There's a joy in serving. And we have to rediscover that. We have to rediscover that because the joy of the Lord is our strength, the scripture says, right? And that kind of joy doesn't go away. It changes us, it transforms us, it's in us. Today, we're being called to servant leadership. Jesus says, it's not up to me whether you sit on the right and the left, but are you ready? Are you ready to do what you're asking for? Now you may say, well, Father Albert, I really didn't choose to be baptized. My parents and godparents took me there, and I wasn't so aware of what was taking place. Most of us were not baptized as adults, even though some of us were aware, but for the most part we weren't, and we were small, and somebody took us, and baptism became more of a ritual or a family tradition. I'm here to tell you, it's a lot more than that. Your baptism means something very important to the body of Christ, the church, and to the world out there.
It means you belong to Christ. And it means you're called to serve. So if you don't feel commissioned, if you don't feel, ordained, we like to call it, we talk of fancy church stuff. If you don't feel that you've been selected and chosen and all that, think again, because you have. You're called to be a servant leader. You're called to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ because you are one with him in baptism. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.